بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is going to be our first session dealing with Ramadan and matters related to the fast of Ramadan. And tonight, inshallah, we're going to try to cover several topics. We won't probably be able to cover all of the topics, but the topics that we would like to cover, or we intended to cover, is what is intended by siyam, yani what is the meaning of siyam linguistically and technically in the Sharia? What are the divisions of siyam? What is the legal ruling concerning fasting Ramadan? And what is the station or the status of siyam in its virtue and its excellence? Two lengthy topics that we're going to just kind of briefly look at and not in detail. We're not going to be able to cover them because of the length of the topics. Is who are those who are obligatory to, who are obligated to fast? What are the things that invalidate the fast? And finally, some of the manners, the adab of fasting. So there are a lot of topics and a very limited amount of time. So let's try to get started immediately. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for me and for each of you, yani to benefit from what we're going to present tonight, and that it be a good reminder for most of us, and perhaps even there may be something that we didn't know that we will learn for the first time that will help us, inshallah, in this fast of the month of Ramadan. So, the first topic that we're going to look at tonight is al-maqsood bis-siyam. Lughatan wa shar'an. And these matters are the answers to questions that were presented to Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, and they were gathered together yani in the chapter of fatawa related to as-siyam in the book Fiqh al-Ibadat. Yani the book is entitled Fiqh al-Ibadat, yani the fiqh related to acts of worship. And this is the chapter dealing with as-siyam. So there are a lot of topics, and I just chose a few of them that perhaps they could be a good reminder to us as we enter into this month of Ramadan. So what is, yani the Shaykh was asked, what is meant, what is intended, what is the meaning of as-siyam? Linguistically, in the Arabic language, what does it mean? And technically in the Sharia, what does it mean? By the way, the meaning of as-siyam, at least the technical meaning, if not the linguistic meaning, is something that is or should be known to every one of us. So what is intended here is a reminder. And perhaps, yani we might be reminded of something that we already knew. Indeed, as we enter into the month of Ramadan, and of the important aspects of Ramadan is fasting. Yani that is the thing that we're going to be mostly concentrating on, fasting. Although for sure, yani it doesn't mean that the prayers in Ramadan and the recitation of Quran in Ramadan are less important. But the point is that most people, when they think about Ramadan, they're going to be thinking about fasting. So how can we enter into this month of fasting and we are not clear on what is the meaning of fasting? What is intended by siyam? So the Shaykh, he says, in response to the question, what is the, yani what is intended by fasting linguistically and technically? He says, as-siyam fil lugha ma'anahu al-imsaq. Linguistically, the meaning of as-siyam is al-imsaq, that a person refrain, abstain, yani that they hold themselves back, yani hold themselves back from, yani that which is required to be abstained from in the month of Ramadan during the fast. And this meaning of al-imsaq, that fasting linguistically means al-imsaq, holding back or restraining oneself, restraint, is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 26th Ayat, فَإِمَّا تَرَيِنَّ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ أَحَدًا فَقُولِي إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ سَوْمًا فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًا. Yani that if you see any human being, then, yani Allah is saying to Maryam, if you see any human being, then say, indeed, I have vowed to fast for Ar-Rahman, and I will not speak to anyone today. I have vowed to fast, and I will not speak to anyone, any human being today. The Shaykh says the meaning of this nadartu, yani sawman, the meaning is nadartu imsakan lil-kalam, that I have vowed to hold back, to restrain myself from speaking, and therefore I will not today speak to any human being. So the linguistic meaning of siyam is imsak, that a person restrains themselves, that they hold themselves back from something. And in this ayah, the meaning is to restrain, that she is going to restrain herself from speaking. The word that's used in the ayah is yani sawm, but what is intended here is restraining, imsak, from speaking. As far as the technical meaning, the Shaykh says, أَمَّا فِي الشَّرَعِ فَهُوَ التَّعَبُّدْ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى بِالْإِمْسَاكِ عَلَى الْمُفَطِّرَاتِ مِنْ تُلُوعِ الْفَجْرِ الثَّانِي إِلَى غُرُوبِ الشَّمْسِ. Yani the technical meaning of a fasting is, number one, التَّعَبُّدْ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. Yani it is an act of worshipping Allah the Most High. How? بِإِمْسَاكِ عَلَى الْمُفَطِّرَاتِ, by abstaining or restraining oneself from those things that invalidate the fast. مِنْ تُلُوعِ الْفَجْرِ الثَّانِي إِلَى غُرُوبِ الشَّمْسِ. And the time is from the break of dawn, يعني الفجر الثاني means the true fajr, up until the setting of the sun. So there are three things here. What are the three things in this definition, technical definition of siyam or sawm? It is number one, anybody help me? التعبد لله, yani that a person is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here is the meaning of worship, and also لله indicates that it's for Allah alone, meaning the niyyah is khalisan لله. So a person has to have intention that they are performing an act of worship purely for the sake of Allah alone. What does this worship entail? It entails abstaining from everything that invalidates the fast. And its timing is from the break of dawn until the setting of the sun. So, that being said, it is incumbent upon us, every day of this fast, or any fast, in Ramadan or outside of Ramadan, that we keep in the forefront of our mind that this fasting is not a method of dieting. It's not for some material, physical, or worldly benefit. Rather, it is an act of worship that must be done with a sincere intention for Allah alone. The second issue, أقسام السيام, the divisions of السيام. The Shaykh was asked, ما هي أقسام السيام? What are the divisions? يعني what are the types of fasting? He said, ينقسم السيام إلى قسمين. يعني so fasting is divided into two divisions. There are two types of fasting. And for the sake of time, I'm going to try to go through some of the issues a little bit quickly and summarize it a little bit so that we can cover as many topics as possible. He says the fasting is divided into two divisions. قِسْمٌ مَفْرُودٌ. One division is that which is obligatory. وَقِسْمٌ غَيْرُ مَفْرُودٌ. And the other division is that type of fasting that is not obligatory. So there's obligatory fasting and there's fasting that is not obligatory. In terms of the obligatory fasting, he said, it might be, that fasting might be due to a cause. And there's a reason for that fasting. Like the fasting, siyam al-kaffarat. Yani the fasting that is an expiation for something that a person has done. So there's a reason for that obligatory fast. Yani something has happened, a person has to expiate for it, they have to fast for that expiation. Or an-nudhur, or the reason might be that a person has vowed. They have vowed. They've made a vow to Allah, I'm going to fast. I'm going to fast yani this many days or whatever. And so on. They made it obligatory on themselves. Allah didn't make it obligatory on them. But by making a vow, you make it obligatory on yourself. The Shaykh says, وَقَدْ يَكُونْ بِغَيْرِ سَبَبْ. And sometimes there may be a fast that doesn't really have any sabab. Yani that somebody did something causing it to become obligatory upon them. He said, like the fast of Ramadan. It is, he said, فَإِنَّهُ وَاجِبٌ بِأَصْلِ الشَّرْعِ أي بِغَيْرِ سَبَبٍ مِنَ الْمُكَلَّفِ. Yani, the fast of Ramadan, it doesn't have a cause that came from the person making it obligatory on yourself. Rather, he said it is obligatory. Yani in the foundation of the Sharia. It originates in the Sharia, it's originally obligatory. It doesn't have any cause or any reason from the person who is doing that fasting. After that, he said, the second type of fasting or the second division of fasting is the one that's not obligatory. And he said it could be muayyanan or could be yani mutlaqan. Yani it could be a non-obligatory fast that is for specific days. For a specific day or time. Or it could be mutlaq, yani without any specific time. Yani just general without any restriction. So the example of the yani the fast that's not obligatory, that's specific, is like the fasting on the specific days of al-Ithnain wal-Khamis. Yani a fast, there are specific days that a person fasts, on Mondays and Thursdays, for example. That is a non-obligatory fast, but it's specific. The example of the mutlaq, yani that's not specified, it's not restricted, is like fasting any day of the year. No special day, just any day. But regardless, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, regardless the middle of the month or any time, just fasting on any day of the year. So fasting, the Shaykh says, yani, that's yani mutlaq, and it doesn't have any specification. Except, he said, note that there's a prohibition of singling out Yawmul Jum'ah for fasting. Yani a person can't just take Jum'ah and fast, yani single it out for fasting. So the day of Jum'ah should not be fasting unless the person doesn't single it out, but rather they fast the day before it or day after it along with it. But it shouldn't be fast alone by itself. And this prohibition, and likewise he said there's also a prohibition of fasting on the 2 days of Eid, yani Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr. And likewise, there's also a prohibition of fasting the days of al-Tashriq. The days of Tashriq are the days in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Yani the days after, yani which day comes, yani the main day of the main day, yani after Arafah, the day of Eid is the 10th. The next 3 days, the 11th, 12th and 13th, are the days of Tashriq. These days also, yani the Prophet ﷺ said in some hadith, are days of Aql wa Shurb, of eating and drinking. These are days that we should not fast, except for the person who is a Qarin or Mutamatti, they're performing Hajj, Qiran, or Hajj Tamattu. Those people are required to make a sacrifice. If they were unable to do so, they may fast in the days of Tashriq. The next topic that the Shaykh mentions is Hukm Siyam Ramadan. Yani what is the ruling concerning the fast of Ramadan? Meaning the hukm means, is it wajib, is it mustahab, is it yani makruh? What is the hukm shar'i for the fast of Ramadan? And we know that yani it's obligatory. We know that, as the Shaykh mentions here, not only is it obligatory, but it's from the most important fundamentals of Islam, from the arkan of Islam, al-khams. Shaykh says siyam for the month of Ramadan is fard by the actual text of the Quran and the text of the Sunnah and by ijma' of the Muslims, and he agreed upon by ijma' of the Muslims. And then he mentions yani the proof from the Quran and from the Sunnah, yani from the Quran, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 183, 84 and 85, where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam, yani siyam has been made obligatory, has been prescribed for you, yani meaning فُرِضَ عَلَيْكُمْ. It has been made obligatory upon you. كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. As it has been made obligatory on those before you, that you may perhaps achieve a taqwa. Until the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this siyaq, in this yani continuation of ayat, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. Yani the month of Ramadan specifically has been mentioned here is the month in which yani the Quran was revealed as a guidance for the people and clarification of the guidance and as a criterion yani between right and wrong. فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. So whoever is present during this month, then they must fast. Yani this is a command in this ayah showing the obligation of fasting the month of Ramadan, and from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the famous hadith, Buniya al-Islam ala khams, yani Islam is based upon five pillars, and from amongst them he mentioned Sawm Ramadan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also said in the authentic hadith, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُهُ فَسُومُ. Yani if you see it, yani the hilal for the beginning of this month, then you must fast. As far as the ijma, the Shaykh says that there's agreement, total agreement amongst the Muslims that, or unanimous agreement amongst the Muslims that fasting the month of Ramadan is fard, it is obligatory, and that it is one of the essential pillars, foundations of Islam. And as such, whoever rejects it, whoever rejects the obligation of fasting the month of Ramadan, whoever denies that it's obligatory, kafara, that person has fallen into kufr. He has fallen into kufr. Unless that person is someone that, yani, is raised in a land that's ba'id, yani, biladin ba'idin, yani, meaning in a place where they're far away from the Muslims and far away from Islam, and there's no chance for that person to know about the ahkam of Islam, that person may be excused. But if that person, yani, continues, insists on this idea after iqamat al-hujjah alayhi, yani after the proofs have been presented to that person and made clear to them that fasting Ramadan is obligatory, and they still insist, yani, on rejecting that, then they have also fallen into kufr. The Shaykh says here, very, very important point, yani, that is subsidiary of this discussion about the obligation of fasting Ramadan. He says, whoever abandons the fast of Ramadan because they take the matter lightly, but they confess, they admit that it's obligatory, but due to their taking the matter lightly, they didn't fast. He said, فَهُوَ عَلَى خَطَرٍ. This person is in danger. Because some of the Ahlul Ilm hold the view that the person who abandons the fast of Ramadan, even though they admit that it's obligatory, that this person is a kafir murtad. That this person is a kafir, disbeliever, who has apostated, who has gone out of Islam. He said some of the scholars hold this view. The Shaykh Imam Muhammad bin Salih Al-Thaymeen rahimahullah says, وَلَكِنَ الرَّاجِ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ لِكَافِرٍ مُرْتَدٍ. He said, but as he sees, the more stronger opinion, more correct opinion, is that a person is not a kafir, that they are not an apostate. بَلْ هُوَ فَاسِقْ مِنَ الْفُسَّاقِ وَلَكِنَّهُ عَلَى خَطَرٍ عَظِيمٍ. But this person really is a disobedient person, and they are in a very extremely dangerous position. Yani to abandon fasting, even though they admit that it's obligatory. The next point that we want to make very, very briefly is makanat as-siyam wa fadluhu. Yani what is the station or the status of fasting and its virtue or excellence? And even though the Shaykh mentions this very briefly, this is of the utmost importance. Yani what is the position of fasting in Islam? What is its station? What is its status? And what is its excellence or its virtue? The Shaykh says, in answer to this question, and especially they said, yani, especially fasting the month of Ramadan. He says, the station or the status of fasting in Islam is that it is one of the magnificent pillars of Islam, which Islam will not stand without it. Yani, لا يقوم إلا بها. Yani, Islam will not stand up without these pillars. وَلَا يَتِمُّ إِلَّا بِهَا. And it would not be completed. Islam will not be complete without it. As far as its excellence or its virtue in Islam, he said it has been confirmed from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said in an authentic hadith, hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim, مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمٍ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. And this is a hadith that we've heard, yani, all the time, every year we hear it, and we hear it again and again and again, but how often do we reflect upon it? Whoever fasts the month of Ramadan with iman and ihtisab, yani with these two conditions, iman and ihtisaban. And this is a reminder to us, to every one of us, that just abstaining from food and drink and marital relations and whatever is, yani, prohibited during the time of fasting is not sufficient. Rather, whoever fasts Ramadan with iman and ihtisab, meaning that a person, when they fast, they have iman, they believe in Allah, they believe it is Allah who has made it obligatory, they believe, this is the iman that they have. And they have ihtisab, meaning they have expectation and anticipation of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that fast. And it's not just enough that a person abstain from eating and drinking, but they should abstain believing in Allah and believing that Allah has legislated this, and in their heart have anticipation and expectation that Allah is going to give them a great reward for this fast. That one who does that, then their previous sins will be forgiven for them. This shows the excellence of fasting, that a person's previous sins will be forgiven. What more could a person ask for? Yani whoever's sins are forgiven, what? Yani if a person dies as a Muslim and their sins have been forgiven, what is left to prevent them from entering the Jannah? Yani it is only our sins that is going to be our problem on Yawm al-Qiyamah. If a person is guaranteed to have their sins forgiven, what more could you ask for? Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannah wa na'udhu bika min an-nar. The next topic that we will look at is a lengthy topic, so I'm going to do the best I can to summarize it. And the Shaykh talks about who it is obligatory upon to fast. Yani who are the people that are obligated to fast the fast of Ramadan? And it's too many pages for me to cover completely. Too many pages. I wish, yani it's so important. Yani it's so important. I wish that yani one session would just be for this. But next week, inshallah, we're going to be looking at the book, the Mukhtasar of the Ahadith related to fasting. The rulings that are derived from them and some of the benefits from them. We're going to be looking at this book. So we're going to be continuing with Hadith for the month of Ramadan, but Hadith exclusively related to fasting. Who is it that are obligated, who are those who are obligated to fast? Okay, again, the Shaykh, yani he mentions six qualities or characteristics, awsaf, that a person must have in order for them to be required to fast. Has to have every one of them. If one of them is missing, person is not obligated to fast. So we need to know, when we want to know who has to fast, we have to look, does the person have these six characteristics or qualities? Then the Shaykh mentions also, yani the opposite of them, and the proofs and evidences, why whoever doesn't have them, they're not obligated to fast. That's why it's quite lengthy. And then he mentions some other yani subsidiary discussions also that are extremely beneficial. But Allahu musta'an, what we're going to do. So what are the six qualities or characteristics that would require, if a person has all of those characteristics, would require a person, and make it obligatory, mandatory, for that person to fast? The Shaykh says, As-siyam yajibu ada'an ala kulli muslim. بالغ عاقل قادر مقيم خال من المواني. Fasting is obligatory on everyone who has all of these six qualities or characteristics, that they are a Muslim, that they have reached the age of puberty, that they are in control of their mind, they are sane, aqil, that they are qadir, that they are able to fast, that they are muqim, that they are resident, they are not traveling, and that they are free from the mawaniya, those things that prevent a person from being obligated to fast. Again, this discussion is lengthy, so we want to emphasize the core of it. The core of it is that if a person is a Muslim, if a person is not a Muslim, they're not obligated to fast. Valid, reach the age of puberty. If a child didn't reach the age of puberty, they're not obligated to fast. Aqil, sane. If a person is not in control of their mind, they're not sane, they're not obligated to fast. Qadir, person who's sick and their sickness prevents them from being able to fast, they're not obligated to fast. Khalan min al-muwani', we're going to look at that in some detail. Yani what prevents a person from fasting in reference to the women. So, yani a little bit of what the Shaykh says concerning these six qualities or characteristics or descriptions that would require a person to fast if they have all of them. As far as the kafir, the first one is what? That Muslim, Islam. That a person has to be a Muslim. As far as the kafir, he said, it is not obligatory upon the disbeliever to fast, nor for the disbeliever to do any other act of worship. It's not obligatory upon them to do so. And what do we mean when we say it's not obligatory upon them to fast? We mean that they will not be compelled to fast while they are upon kufr. Yani while a person is a kafir, nobody's going to force them to fast. This is very important. What does it mean that it's not obligatory? It means that while they're kafir, they're not going to be compelled to fast, like a Muslim would be compelled to fast. Nor would they be compelled to make up the fast after their Islam. Meaning if they entered into Islam, they're not going to have to make up the years of Ramadan that they didn't fast while they were kafir. So while they're kafir, they're not forced to fast. And if they entered Islam, they don't have to make up the fast that they missed before their Islam. And this is because the kafir, ibadah, is not accepted from him while he is a kafir. It's not accepted. Allah doesn't accept it. Nor is the kafir required to make up the fast, yani after they entered Islam. And he says, and he mentions some proofs concerning this. And the proofs are really, really important, but the time, right? So the proof that a kafir is not obligated to fast, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 54th Ayat, وَمَا مَنَعَهُمْ أَن تُقْبَلَ مِنْهُمْ نَفَقَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا أَنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَبِرَسُولِهِ. Yani, that what is it that prevented their sadaqat, their nafaqat, their spending from being accepted by Allah, is that they had disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger. Yani, it was their kufr. Kufr prevents yani worship being accepted from a person. As far as them not having to make up yani what they missed when they enter Islam, did they have to make up the fasting from before? The Shaykh says the proof that they don't have to make it up is from Surah Al-Anfal, 8th Surah, 38th Ayat, كُلِّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ يَنْتَهُوا يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. Yani that if they desist from their kufr, say to those who disbelieve, that if they desist from their kufr, then they will be forgiven for what they did before, yani while they were upon kufr. So then they're not obligated to make up that, yani there's nothing against them. Then the Shaykh, he has a long discussion, and I'm just going to mention this point that he says, but without the detailed discussion, because it's too long. He says, however, they are not obligated to fast while they are kafir. They are not obligated to make up the fast if they entered into Islam. However, لَكِنَّهُ يُعَاقَبْ عَلَى مَا تَرَكَهُ مِنْ وَاجِبَاتْ حَالَ كُفْرِهِ. However, they will be punished for what they have abandoned of the obligatory duties while they were kafir. They will be punished for that. That might sound like a contradiction. How come they're not compelled to fast while they're kafir? They don't have to make up the fast, but then, and they're going to be punished? Yani, the kafir is going to be punished if he didn't enter Islam and he dies on kufr. He's going to be punished for not having fasted and prayed? Yes, he's going to be punished for that. The Shaykh says, the proof of this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning the Ashab al-Yameen, the people of the right hand, the people who receive their books in their right hand, that they will be asking amongst themselves about the mujrimeen, the criminals, the disbelievers. And they will ask them, the disbelievers, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي السَّقَرِ. What is it that caused you to be admitted into the hellfire? What is it that caused you to be entered into the hellfire? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُوا مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We didn't used to pray. The kafir will say, one of the reasons why we're in the hellfire, because we didn't used to pray. Because we didn't used to pray. And we didn't used to feed the poor, and we used to engage in false, vain talk with the people who engaged in that, and we used to deny the Yawm al-Din until yani al-Yaqeen, hatta atan al-Yaqeen, until death came to us. This is from Surah Al-Muddathir, 74th Surah, 42-47. Yani, the core of the discussion here is what? That the kafir is not required to fast. He cannot be compelled to fast. He doesn't have to make up the fast. But if he dies upon kufr, he will be punished for the fact that he didn't do these obligatory acts of worship. Allah created us for what? To worship Him. So who didn't worship Allah, then they will be punished for that. Now, the Shaykh, he explains here that the mention of them abandoning Salat and feeding the poor is from the causes of them being admitted into the hellfire. This is an indication that this has an effect. Yani was one of the reasons why they were yani in the hellfire. The Shaykh then goes on to say that rather the kafir will be punished for everything that he enjoyed of the blessings of Allah in this world, whether food or drink or clothing. And then he mentions from Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 93rd Ayat, yani the proof for this point. Yani that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in this world for the people to enjoy are for those who believe and who worship Him. And so the people who enjoyed them and they didn't worship Allah, they will be punished for Yani what they enjoyed in this world. You can go back to Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 93rd Ayat, and see how the Shaykh has explained that. Yani in that yani that ayat. And he also mentions from Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 32nd Ayat, another ayat that proves that yani the things in this world that Allah has given, the ni'm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world are for the believers. Even though other people might share with them, but they're really for the believers. And the disbelievers, if they partake of them and enjoy them, they will be called to account for that. He mentions the saying of Allah, "Kul man harrama zinata Allah allati akhraja li ibadihi wat tayyibati min ar-rizq, qul hiya lil ladina amanu fil hayati ad-dunya khalisatan yawm al-qiyamah." Yani who is it that will make haram the adornments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought forth for his ibad, for the people who worship him, and the tayyibat, the good things of the sustenance that he has given to the people? He said, say, these things are for those who believe in the life in this world, and they are khalisa, yani khasa, khalisa, khasa, yani for the believers on yawm al-qiyamah. The meaning of that is that the people who have a right to enjoy the things in this world, the ni'mah of Allah, are only those who believe, even though other people might share and enjoying them in this world, but it's not really their right. They don't have a right because it's for the people who worship Allah. And the Shaykh also has a good explanation, yani, of this. Allahu musta'an. Let me try to look at the time. Allahu musta'an. Yeah. So keep going. And again, like I'm feeling really bad that we're not getting the full discussion of what the Shaykh said here. But the point is. Yani the point is that people in this world who don't worship Allah, they will be called to account for that. That's the point. The second condition that requires that, yani if a person is characterized as this, that they are required to fast, is al-aql, that a person is aqil, that they are sane, they have control of their mind. He said this is the second quality or characteristic that makes it obligatory on a person to fast. He said, aql is the thing that enables a person to distinguish between things, to distinguish between right and wrong. So if a person doesn't have his mind, he's not aql, then the fast is not obligatory upon that person. And likewise, there's no active worship that's obligatory on the person who doesn't have control of his mind, except what? Huh? Who said that? Naam, except zakat. Even if a person doesn't have control of their mind, they could be insane. If they have wealth, yani that they own, that is their property, zakat has to be paid on it. But other than that, no other acts of worship are obligatory upon the person who doesn't have control over their mind. So the person who doesn't have control over their mind, they don't have to fast, and they don't have to feed anyone. Because they are not from the Ahlul Wujub. They are not from the people that are obligated to fast. The third characteristic the Shaykh mentions is Al-Bulug, that a person reached the age of puberty. He said that puberty is attained by one of three things. The first of them, he said, أن يتم للإنسان خمسة عشرة سنة, that a person completes 15 years. Yani that they completed the 15th year. Not like a child is born on the first day of Ramadan, and the first day of the next Ramadan, they are how old? Two. No. They're only 1 year and 1 day, right? He said, the person who completes 15 years. That doesn't mean the first day of the 15th year. Mean they completed 15 years. 15 years. That's the first sign. The second thing he said, that the person grows the coarse, rough hair in the pubic areas, in the front pubic areas. And the third thing he said, that a person, yani that they emit semen, yani biladha, yani enjoying it, yani there's some pleasure in that emission of semen. Concerning this, there's a lot of fiqh discussion concerning this. I think it is important to note here that one of these three things, that is the growth of the coarse hair in the pubic area, there's a big difference of opinion about it, whether or not this is actually a conclusive sign of puberty. So I want to mention that because we want to know that this is not conclusive. Yani the scholars are not in agreement about this, and there's some discussion about the madhahib and who agrees and who doesn't agree. Yani we don't have time for today. Inshallah, maybe some other time we might come back to it. The Shaykh says also there's a fourth matter that indicates puberty, and that is specifically to the women, and that is al-hayd. That if a woman has menses, this indicates puberty. And then the Shaykh says, if a woman has hayd, that means she has reached the age of puberty. And based upon this, what he said here, these four things, three that are general and one specific to the women, he said, من تم له خمسة عشرة سنة, whoever has completed 15 years, whether male or female, they have reached puberty. And whoever has the coarse, rough hair in the pubic areas, then that person has reached the age of puberty, even if those hairs grow before they reach 15 years old, whether male or female. Even if this happened before they were 15 years old. And whoever has the emission of semen with pleasure, whether they are male or female, even if that occurred before they were 15 years old, they have reached the age of puberty. And likewise, from the female, yani who had menses, if they had it, their menses came early, even before they reached 15, then they have reached the age of puberty. He said, perhaps some girls might reach the age of puberty and they're only 10 years old. Nonetheless, he said, this is an indication that they reached the age of puberty and therefore they became responsible. He said, they became responsible and they're obligated. So pay attention to this particular issue. A lot of people are unaware, unconscious of this. Some women, they reach the age of puberty or they have their menses early and they don't know that they're obligated to fast and to perform other obligatory acts of worship. Yani that this is an indication that it's obligatory upon them. Many of the people think that you only reach puberty when you complete 15 years. And he said, this is not correct. Rather, yani, if a person reaches the age of responsibility of puberty, even if it's before 15 years, by other indications, then fasting and other acts of obligatory worship are obligatory upon them. And then he mentioned that a person who is responsible for young children, even if they are small, male or female, that they should command their children to fast so that they can get used to it, become accustomed to it, become trained to fast, and it becomes easy for them so that when they reach the age of puberty, it will be easy for them to do so. And this is what the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. They used to encourage. They used to have their children to fast while they were very young, so that even some of those children sometimes would cry and they would give them a toy to play with to distract them until the sun was set, so that they became accustomed to fasting before it became obligatory upon them. And the time, Allah musta'an. The fourth characteristic or quality that the Shaykh mentions is qadir, that the person is able to fast. Yani that they are able to fast, يَسْتَطِيُوا أَن يَصُومَ بِلَا مَشَقَّةٍ, that they are able to fast without great difficulty. Yani without it being overwhelming. Because some people might be able to fast, but it's extremely difficult. And it's extreme hardship. It's not just discomfort, but it's hardship. The Shaykh said the person who's able to has to be able to fast, meaning without this, مَشَقَّةٍ, without extreme difficulty. So if a person is able to fast, then the fasting is obligatory upon them. Then the Shaykh has a long discussion here, very very important discussion. Wallahu musta'an. I'll try to summarize it. He said that those who are able to fast are in two divisions. The first division are those those who are not able to fast. Those who are able to fast is obligatory upon them to fast, and those who are not able to fast are of two divisions. The first division are those who their inability to fast is continuous, ongoing, a permanent condition, like an elderly person who can't fast because of their age, or a sick person who doesn't expect recovery from their sickness. This person should feed one poor Muslim for every day that they were unable to fast. So if the month was 30 days, they feed 30 poor Muslims, meaning people who don't have sufficient means to take care of their needs. They might have some means, but it's not enough. They might even have a job, but their salary is not enough to pay their rent every month. They fall short $100 or $200 from paying their rent or their utilities. That person is qualified to receive. He said, so they should feed one person for every day. Depending on if the month is 29 or 30 days. And he said, this feeding has two manners. And he has a lengthy discussion concerning the two manners. One of them is that they give, yani, a person some uncooked food in a certain amount. And he says, yani, rubu sa'a, or one mud. Some of the scholars said nisf sa'a. In any case, some uncooked food could be given to feed a person one meal. Or the second way, he said, is that the person could prepare food and feed that person, invite them to eat with them, or a group of people, and feed, yani, what, the number of people for the days that he missed. The person who's entitled to abandon the fast and feed a person is the person whose sickness is permanent, or whose condition is permanent. Like an older person who's 80 or 90 years old, they're not going to get young. That's permanent. A sick person whose sickness, they don't know any cure for it. It's permanent. That person is entitled to feed. Otherwise, he said, the other person, the second type of person unable to fast, is the person whose sickness is temporary. It's just a passing matter. And that person, because of their sickness, temporarily is unable to fast. Then we say to them, break your fast and make up the day or days that you missed with days later. And this is based on the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 185th ayat, وَمِنْ كَانَ مَرِيدًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخْرَىٰ. So whoever is sick or on a journey, then they should make up the number of days that they broke their fast in days later. The fifth quality or characteristic that's required, yani, for a person to be described with in order for them to be obligated to fast, is that they are muqeem, yani, that they are resident, that they are not a traveler. Yani, muqeem, he said, it is the opposite of musafir. So, the musafir, he said, is the person who has left their land. That person is not obligated to fast. And this is based on the ayat that we just mentioned. However, the Shaykh says, however, al-afdal an yasuma illa yashuqqa alayh. It is better for the traveling person, unless it's difficult for them. It's better for them, yani, that's his view, afdal an yasum, that it's better for them to fast, unless it is extremely difficult for them. In that case, then it is better that they break their fast. Okay, and he mentions here the saying of Abi Ad-Darda radiallahu anhu, that we were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the month of Ramadan, a day of extreme heat. And there were those amongst us who were fasting. Ma fina sa'im. And there was nobody amongst us who was fasting, except Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu. Yani, it was extreme heat, and nobody was fasting except the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and one of his companions. So based on this, yani, the Shaykh says, if it is difficult for a person to fast, then he breaks his fast. He must break his fast. He doesn't cause himself to suffer hardship in fasting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a complaint was brought to him that some of the people were finding difficulty in fasting, he ordered them, yani, he himself broke his fast so there wouldn't be a hardship on the people. And it was said, some people are still fasting. And he said, these are the disobedient ones. The last quality that's mentioned here, sixth quality, is خَالِيًا مِنَ الْمَوَانِيَ أي مِنْ مَوَانِيَ الْوُجُوبِ. That a person is free from those things that prevent a person from fasting. Yani, the mawaniya here means those things that prevent it from being obligatory on a person. It's not obligatory on that person because of this condition. This, he said, is specifically to the women. And yani, for the women, he said that a condition for fasting to be obligatory upon them is that they are not, yani, having menses or after childbirth bleeding. So if they were in the state of menses or the bleeding that comes after childbirth, then it's not obligatory upon them to fast. And rather, what is obligatory upon them is to, yani, make up the days that they broke their fast. And this is based on the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani, concurring with this particular matter. He said, أَلَيْسَ إِذَا حَادَتْ لَمْ تُصَلِّي وَلَمْ تَصُمْ. Isn't it so that when the woman has menses, that she didn't pray and she didn't fast? The Prophet ﷺ is saying that this is correct. So if a woman has menses, نعم, جزاك الله خير. بارك الله فيك. If a woman has menses, then fasting is not obligatory upon her. Rather, she makes up the days that she missed. And then the Shaykh said here, there are two issues that we have to pay attention to. And we're not going to mention them in detail now because it's a whole page long. But yani one of the issues is that some women think that if they were yani clean from their menses, or if they became yani free from their menses in the end of the night, and they know that they are free from their menses, it's over, it's completed, but they didn't fast, thinking that if they didn't take a ghusl before dawn, their fast is not accepted. And this is not true. Rather, if the woman is free from menses before dawn, even if she didn't take a ghusl before dawn, yani it's still obligatory upon her fast and on her to fast, and her fast is accepted. And the other one, he said that some women think that if their menses came on after Maghrib, after they completed the fast, the menses came after Maghrib, some think that their fast is invalidated. And some of them, he said, went to the extreme of saying if the menses came even yani by Isha, they completed the fast, but if the menses came after Maghrib or after Isha, after they completed the fast, they think that it's invalid, and this is not so as well. He said these are six characteristics that if somebody has all of them, all six of them, then it's obligatory on that person to fast the month of Ramadan. It's not permissible for them to break the fast. And if any one of these qualities or characteristics are absent, yani it is as we already mentioned, then it's not obligatory on that person to fast. The other topic that we wanted to talk about, but for the sake of time, yani we definitely will not be able to race through it, is those things that invalidate the fast. In the next session, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, next Jumu'ah, yani we'll have the class 1 hour before Maghrib, and we're going to talk about this topic in some detail. That is, yani the things that invalidate the fast and the conditions that are necessary in order for those things to actually invalidate the fast. We're just going to close here for now with some of the adab of fasting. The Shaykh was asked, what are the adab of fasting? And he said, from the adab, the etiquettes or the manners of fasting, is that a person observe taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing those things that He has commanded us with and avoiding those things that He has prohibited us from. And this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 183rd ayat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That all you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you, meaning has been made obligatory upon you in the same way that it was made obligatory on those before you, so that you may attain at taqwa. And also based on the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, recorded by Al-Bukhari, مَنْ لَمْ يَدْعَ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ وَالْجَهْلَ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَدْعَ طَعَامُهُ وَشَرَابُهُ. Yani meaning that the issue is not just yani abstaining from eating and drinking. Whoever didn't give up false speech and acting in accordance with false speech and ignorance, Allah has no need of that person giving up their food and their drink. And what is meaning, some of the scholars say what is meant, Allah has no need of them giving up their food and drink. Allah doesn't accept it from them. Also from the adab of fasting, now Imam, from the adab of fasting, inshallah, next week we'll go into the details of it, is that a person should increase in giving sadaqah and doing good deeds. And from the adab of fasting is that a person avoid that which is haram, like lying and swearing and abusing people and cheating and violating trust and looking at that which is haram or listening to that which is haram. And from the adab of fasting is that a person, yani, take the pre-dawn meal, the suhoor, and that they delay the suhoor, yani, until close to the actual time of the breaking of the dawn. And this is based on the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tasahharu fa inna as-suhoor barakah. Yani, take this pre-dawn meal, for indeed, in taking this meal, there is barakah. And the last thing that we're going to mention here as we close is from the adab of fasting, is that a person break their fast with fresh dates. And if they didn't find fresh dates, then dry dates. And if they didn't find that, then some water. And that a person should hasten to break their fast as soon as they are certain that the sun has set, or Yani, it is more likely. Yani, they are pretty much certain that the sun has set. And this is because of the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, لَا يَزَالُ النَّاسِ بِخَيْرْ مَا عَجَّلُوا الْفِطْرِ, that the people will remain upon khair as long as they hasten to break the fast. And this is extremely important, that we should not delay the breaking of the fast once we are certain that the sun has set. Even if the muezzin didn't call the adhan, breaking of the fast is not based on the muezzin's adhan. If the muezzin calls it on time, fine. If he doesn't, then we shouldn't wait for the muezzin to call the adhan or wait for anything else once it has become clear. And this, yani, in hastening to break the fast, yani, this is also a sign of the people of sunnah. And the people who deviated from the sunnah and who rejected the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam delay breaking their fast until it's dark outside. So if you go any place and you see people waiting to break their fast until it's dark outside, this is a sign that these people have deviated from Islam. They have deviated from the sunnah. And this is where the Rafidah Shi'ah, and this is something that is a good sign for people to know that these people do not accept the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even if some of them talk nice and act nice and treat people nice when people don't really know who they are. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.